Well, hi, everybody, and welcome to the Jordy Hortbook Show. I'm Jeff Horchak, filling in for Jordy on this beautiful Friday afternoon in Southwest Louisiana as we get you set for the Memorial Day weekend. A lot of events are planned for this weekend all across the country. So if you are out and about, maybe you're traveling to a destination today or tomorrow to spend time with family or friends, be careful out there on the roads. They're saying that today will be one of the busiest, if not the busiest, travel days of the year, right up there with Christmas and Easter. So it's a busy, busy, busy time of the year, busy weekend. A lot of people will be on the roads, be out on the water as well with the sunshine out there. So be careful if you're boating or on the roads traveling, and have yourself a great Memorial Day weekend. A lot of people will be off, a little three-day weekend. Some will have to work either way. We'll be here with you on 103.7 The Game. We've got a great show for you lined up today for the next 2 hours. We're going to talk Saints, the Saints in the middle of the OTAs, and also we'll talk LSU baseball as the Tigers get set to face off against Mississippi State for the second time in the SEC tournament in Hoover tonight. They've had a wild, wild ride. The last two games have been bizarre, but exciting. We'll talk with Jacques Doucet of WAFB-TV. He's live in Hoover covering the Tigers. He'll come on around 3 o'clock and give us the latest on LSU as they get set to face Mississippi State tonight. Also, we'll talk with Juan Kincaid. He is the sports director at Fox 8 Television in New Orleans. He'll get us up to date as well on the Saints and OTAs and the first sneak peek at the new rookie class for New Orleans. That's really what the OTAs are about, is getting a chance to see the newly drafted rookies in the black and gold for the first time. So we'll get to talk to Juan and see how they look out there for the first time. And we'll also talk with you, the listener or the viewer, or whoever you are out there in the radio world. The ARDCO Equipment Hotline will be open, 337-706-0111. If you want to talk, maybe a little Pelicans as well, we'll still talk about that. The draft's coming up in June, and it's going to be an exciting draft because your New Orleans Pelicans have that number one overall pick. So, NBA playoffs are still kicking. My Bucks are fading on me. We'll talk a little bit about that now that the Raptors have taken a 3-2 lead in that best-of-seven series in the Eastern Conference Finals. Golden State sitting back, sipping on tea, waiting on the winner of the Raptors and the Bucks. So it's getting hot and heavy. You know, the Bucks won the first two games, and I thought, okay, they got this. They may drop one in Toronto, maybe two, but they'll get game five back at home. Well, they lost it last night, so now they're down 3-2 in a must-win situation on Saturday night. We'll get into that and talk more about the Milwaukee Bucks and Toronto Raptors. And, you know, Clint and I are big Greek Freak fans. We love Greek food. We love to watch the Greek Freak on the court. We love everything about Greece. But we're not liking what we're seeing with the Bucks right now, so we'll talk about that. Again, the ARDCO Equipment Hotline is open, 337-706-0111. Jeff Horchak filling in for Jordy Hultberg this afternoon. Bumper to Bumper Sports starts at 4. And Ben Love will be live from Minute Maid Park in Houston as he covers the Astros and Red Sox tonight. Wade Miley, former Southeastern pitcher and LaRonde, Louisiana native, will get the start for the Stros tonight. He's 4-2 on the year, having a pretty solid season for Houston. So Ben will talk much more about that. And he'll also be talking with some of the brass when it comes to the Astros about the season they're having and, you know, where they are at this point in the season. So you want to stay tuned for Bumper to Bumper Sports coming up from 4 to 7 as Ben Love will be live from Minute Maid Park, the home of the Houston Astros. And if you look at the standings right now, the Astros, you know, playing some pretty good baseball right now. You have to admit, it's still early in the year. We don't want to get too excited because it's a long, long season. But you got to like what you see from Houston so far. Very young ball club, a lot of exciting talent there. Right now leading the way in the NL West, 33-18 on the season. And they're 18-6 at home this year, so they've played well at home, but a big matchup, big weekend series against Boston. Anytime the Red Sox are in town, that's always a big deal. There's a lot of Red Sox fans all over the country, so you've got your Red Sox base down here in the South, get a chance to see the Bo Sox in Houston. Also, if you're an Astro fan, hey, you're right at home. A big Memorial Day weekend for the Astros and the Red Sox from Minute Maid. So we've got a lot of topics on the table. Clint, I got to get your take on the Cajun Heartland State Fair. That's in the process right now here in Lafayette. Are you a fan of the turkey leg?
You know, I've never had the turkey leg at the Cajun Heartland State Fair. I love me some turkey. Never had the turkey leg over there. How about you?
Yeah, I've had the turkey leg and the cotton candy. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. I got to admit, I feel like a Viking when I walk around the fair with that big turkey leg chewing off hunks of turkey. It looks a little rustic, and but it's good. The Cajun Heartland State Fair is going to get some good weather. It looks like the weather is going to be pretty good for this weekend. It's going to be hot and sunny, but looks like the rain should hold off. We've had a nice stretch of really warm weather this week. Even though it's not officially summer yet, we're already feeling summer-like temps as it's getting into the 90s. I'm no weatherman, but I work with a lot of them, and they've been saying, make sure you hydrate this weekend if you're out. A lot of people will be out on their boats and on the water, hanging out with family and friends, maybe barbecuing or cooking some burgers on the grill. Make sure you hydrate and put that sunscreen on. You don't want to get fried this weekend. But it should be pretty nice weather. And again, traffic will be hot and heavy today and tomorrow as people travel to destinations. So be careful if you're on the roads. If you're on I-10, make sure you pay attention on the roads. All the construction that's going on around Bro Bridge, it makes it really treacherous on that stretch. So be careful. Put the phone down, focus on the road, and slow down so that you can get to where you need to go safely, and everybody else can as well. Just want to stress that because it is a busy time to be on the road. So in the world of sports, like I said, there's a lot of topics on the table. I have to admit, Ben, we're gonna talk a little later with Jacques Doucet about LSU and his feel for this team in Baton Rouge or in Hoover. But I tell you what, the last two games have been as bizarre as you're gonna find. They go 17 innings with State few days ago, and they turn around and play Auburn and win in the ninth on a wild pitch. They score two runs. I mean, you couldn't have written that up. That was probably the most bizarre way to win a ball game, and they did it. And now they're back in the saddle with another crack at Mississippi State tonight. It's a 6:30 first pitch from Hoover. So you can say what you want about Tiger Magic and Hoover, but it seems like there may be something to it. I got home just in time to watch the ninth inning of that game against Auburn, and that was the game, so I got to see the best part. And I'm sitting there, my jaw's on the ground, as I watch that ball go get past the catcher for Auburn, and then he can't find the ball. It's just like spinning there, and he doesn't know where it is, and people are screaming, it's in front of you, it's in front of you. One run scores, and then the second runner comes around. I'm like, holy cow, they're going to win the game on this play. And he throws home, the pitcher came up, and then catcher couldn't get it. It went past back to the other side of the dugout, and the second run scored, and they win. I mean, it was just bizarre. But that is baseball. That is sports. You play till the end of the game. You hear the coaches have been saying it since you were in peewee ball. Hey, you keep playing till the final whistle. You don't give up. You don't give in. You keep playing. And that was a great example of if you keep playing, you never know what's going to happen. If they would have stopped playing and stopped focusing, they may not have scored that winning run. So that was heads up by the Tiger base runners to stay in the game, keep their head in the game, and capitalize on a mistake by Auburn. It was a costly one because that was the elimination game for Auburn. Did you get to see that final inning?
Yeah, I was able to catch it while I was in here in the 237 Roof Studios, kind of watching it and listening to it. It was definitely a wild play. And I was talking with somebody about it this morning, and they actually said, and this might be an unpopular opinion to some, especially in Lafayette, Louisiana, and the far-reaching areas that this station reaches, is that could have very well been called obstruction or interference on the runner, and the game could have still been going on.
It was bizarre. There's no doubt about it. It was so bizarre. But, you know, again, that's baseball. That is baseball, and that's you've got to play till the end. I think that's a great example. You know, a lot of times, like I was saying back in Little League, they teach you to just keep playing. Don't stop. And you can say it for any sport. But you crazy, wacky things happen. And that was a great example of how if LSU base runners had not been focused and zone in the zone, they may have blown that chance to win the game. So that was a bizarre finish. But that's what makes it fun. And I really was glad I got a chance to see the final inning because that was the ball game, and man, was it a way to win. And, you know, stuff like that can really jumpstart a team. It can make a team give them that magic, as they say. And maybe this is what LSU needed to ignite them. And if they beat Mississippi State tonight, man, you got to think that you don't want to play them. They're dangerous. And I think they may have already clinched a regional to be able to host a regional
with
that. I think that may have been enough to get them through. But if they can win tonight, I mean, it's like, wow. You want to be hot going into regional play, and that may be the one thing they needed to get them over the hump. We'll see. It was sure fun to watch, though. I tell you, I was on the edge of my seat.
It's amazing to see what they were able to do last night. But then again, it is kind of always just in the back of your mind that crazy things will wind up happening in Hoover, Alabama, because LSU's been extremely good when they head over there. It's amazing to see what they do whenever they're in Hoover, Alabama.
Yeah, they have. They just seem like they stepped their game up to another level, which you have to when you get to that level, especially if you're on the verge of not getting to host a regional, and you know that this your performance in the SEC tournament could dictate where you're going. You know, in past years when they've had phenomenal regular seasons where they pretty much clinched a regional bid, then the SEC tournament was just kind of like, okay, we want to go and play well, but it's not imperative that we win this thing to get to host a regional. But this year, that wasn't the case. So they needed to have a good showing there and show that they deserve to host. And, I mean, let's be honest. When the committees are looking at teams to host, they know that LSU always gets great attendance when they're hosting regionals. The fan, that's the key, is they want to be at sites where people are going to go and put butts in the seats, and they do in Baton Rouge. It's always been that way ever since Skip got there. So they know they'll get a good crowd to show up for those games. And that's just the support of college baseball in South Louisiana and Baton Rouge, Lafayette, all over. So should be fun to see what they do. Again, that game starts tonight against Mississippi State at 6:30. And again, that's an elimination game, so you have to keep winning to stay alive. The Cajuns, of course, bowed out of the Sun Belt tournament. They won what? They won one game, right?
Yeah, they won on them Tuesday night against App State, then they lost the next two, and yeah, definitely both of them kind of in disheartening fashion, especially the 10-7 loss against Troy on very early Thursday morning, which is just another thing that I'm not a big fan of when it comes to the Sun Belt tournament, where you basically they play the nightcap game on Tuesday night, and then you play on Wednesday morning, and then you play again on Thursday, but it's at 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock our time. It's just ridiculous that they have that in the Sun Belt Conference tournament, have these games start so early, and then you wind up having this kind of situation. Thankfully, there was no weather kind of playing interference like we saw last year at the Sun Belt tournament, where games want to go until 2 a.m., then you play at 7 o'clock the next morning.
Yeah, I think it's crazy, too, to play those games that early, because it's hard to get people to tune in when you're playing that early. You know, it's just not an easy thing. But I understand they have a lot of games, and they don't want to be playing into the wee hours of the night, so they decide to start them a little earlier. That way they can get out of there at a decent time at night. But it's tough to play the early games, and everybody wants those primetime games, but not everybody can play at the same time. We're also talking, as we mentioned earlier, about the Saints. They're in the middle of OTAs, and we're going to talk with Juan Kincaid in a little bit. He's a sports director at Fox 8 New Orleans. Get his take on the Saints and really what OTAs mean. How valuable are OTAs to the teams, to the players, to the coaches, to the fans, to the media? I mean, are they really worth it or not? That's what we're going to get from Juan, and then get some notes from him as well on what he's seen out there. In my opinion, the OTAs are always just really kind of a photo shoot for the new rookies, the guys that have just been drafted in the recent class. You get a chance to get video and pictures of them in their new jerseys and in their pro uniforms, and they get to run some routes and see a little bit. You know, some guys show up, some guys don't. It just it depends on the situation. You like to see everybody show up, but not everybody does. It's up to them. It makes you wonder with veteran players like Drew Brees, who is going into his, 18th year in the league, and, you know, how big are OTAs for him? Is this important, or he knows the routine? For the rookies, obviously it's huge, because this is their first chance at really experiencing a little bit of pro football. We're going to take a break, come back, and talk more sports. Again, the ARCO Equipment Hotline is open. It's 337-706-0111. This is Jeff Horchek filling in for Jordy Holmberg on this Friday afternoon, Memorial Day weekend, right here on 103.7 The Game and 1037thegame.com.
Taking the hottest topics and dousing them in gasoline. It's the Jordy Holtberg Show on Acadiana Sports Station. 1037 The Game.
We got more bounce in California than all y'all combined. We got more bounce in California. We like to party all the time. We got more bounce in California.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Jordy Holtberg Show. Jeff Horchek filling in for Jordy on this Friday, Memorial Day weekend. It is so good to be with you on this Friday, talking a little sports as we get you set for the holiday weekend. Well, first of all, I want to get your take, folks, on the Saints, and we're going to talk much more on that with Juan Kincaid of Fox 8. He's in New Orleans covering the Saints as they have OTAs are underway. But Drew Brees was in Lafayette a few days ago talking about the flag football league that he's a part of. Three of his sons play in it. Also, they're expanding all across the country. And He's also opened up an entertainment center here for children and really people of all ages. So he's been very busy and all over Lafayette. In fact, he's been in Lafayette a lot lately because of that. He was scouting out areas and then eventually went ahead and bought this facility to make it an entertainment center. But he's also promoting that football league. And now he's involved with OTAs. So he's getting accustomed to some of his new teammates. I got to ask you, Clint, you were there when he was at Bayou Church to talk to the media for a few minutes. And what was your take on Drew at this point in his career? I know he talked about a number of topics, yeah. But just what was your take? That's the first time you've ever been able to really to be. Have you? That's the first time you ever actually met Drew?
Yeah, that's the first time I ever met Drew, man.
Okay, what'd you think?
Oh no, it was amazing. Like just getting to talk to him for even 10 minutes, and it was just fun in general to hear him talk for about an hour with all the kids beforehand. Mm-hmm. Kind of got a lot of those questions out of the way about him, the Noah call, for instance. First question a kid asked was, when are you going to retire?
It's funny.
It was the best. Like, you can ask Fauci about that. Like, we were killing ourselves laughing at that one.
When are you going to retire? What did Drew say?
Someday.
Someday.
Like, he kept it very generic, but I was like, just hearing Brees talk about he seemed like he was like a lot more open. Like, usually when you hear a lot of these sound bites that we'll wind up playing, it's very much like the coach speak type stuff.
Right.
This one was a little bit different. Like, he seemed like he was in a very good mood talking. He was had a smile on his face. Mind you, he does for the most part, but it felt like he was just a lot more entertaining, like just how he carried himself in that 10-minute media interview talking about Gerald McCoy. He's like, well, I'd love to have a guy like that mm-hmm. with our team because I don't have to worry about like avoiding him anymore as a quarterback.
Absolutely. I still haven't heard anything on Gerald McCoy. It's a good point. He hasn't been signed, right?
No, he hasn't been signed. I think Cleveland's going to be the one that's definitely going to be the first team he visits in his free agency tour.
Hopefully he'll visit New Orleans. I think he'd be a great addition, but we'll see.
Just feels like the price range might be a little too rich for their blood, considering the fact like they had signed somebody on Tuesday. I think it was a former Detroit Lion. But that's something that you're going to have to think about down the line.
So Drew was also talking a lot about this flag football league that he's very involved in. Three of his sons play in this league. They're trying to expand that, right, Clint, to this part of the state?
Well, they're expanding it. They're expanding it everywhere. This is actually the second year of its existence. They're going to have a league in Lafayette. I believe coming soon they're going to have one in Baton Rouge, Alexandria. Their plans are to expand it even further, going into Texas, according to what he was mentioning, was definitely that will be a possibility down the line. I think that's huge for that thing. It's like eventually it wants to be in the entire United States of America.
Yeah.
But it's step by step, and seeing how many leagues have sprouted up just in Louisiana alone, it's huge.
Well, I think it's great. You know, and I hear him talk about, he said he played flag football when he was young. I know that Archie Manning didn't have his sons play tackle football until I believe they got to maybe around 8th grade or 7th grade because, you know, physically it's not necessarily the greatest thing for kids that young until they get their bodies get a little more developed. So flag football is really good because it doesn't wear down their body. They don't have the injuries, and they also can work on their skills and the quickness and running routes and, you know, catching the ball, running, throwing, all that, so that when they go to tackle football, then they're already ready to they've already got the basic skills down. So I think that is a good league, and I think that will help a lot of parents say, okay, I'll let my son play flag football, maybe not necessarily tackle football yet. Now, we all know that at some point, you know, you really know whether you want to play football after you get your bell rung. Once you get lit up once, then you have a decision to make. Do I want to stick with this sport, or do I want to move on to something else? I've heard a lot of guys say, well, once I got my bell rung, I reconsidered playing football and tackle football and decided to play baseball or basketball or another sport. So it is a tough game, but I like the idea of the flag football leagues around the country, and I think it will catch on. And it sounds like it's doing well, and we've got a guy like Drew Brees out in front of it. That definitely does not hurt. Now, we've got some sound from Drew talking to OTAs about some of the new players that he is getting a chance to rub shoulders with and practice with, guys like Jared Cook and Latavius Murray, who are new acquisitions. Both those guys, of course, Murray played with the Vikings, and then Cook came over from the Oakland Raiders. So Cook was a big pickup. He's a tight end, and they need help at that position. He's a veteran guy that can give them some real help over the middle there. And they also drafted that rookie tight end out of Notre Dame, too. So they're trying to make sure that position is solidified for years to come. That was a weak spot for this team. And then with Ben Watson retiring, It made it. They knew they were going to have to address that position. And then Ben, I heard, recently just re-signed, came out of retirement to sign with the Patriots. So apparently he wanted to retire and then decided to come back. But they feel like they filled that hole with a rookie and then this veteran, Jared Cook. So here's Drew Brees on taking some snaps with his new tight end.
Really good. Really impressed. He comes across as a real savvy veteran, a real pro. I'd heard a lot of good things about him before he got here, but he's certainly impressed these first couple days. He's got a great feel for the game, and I think he's going to fit very well into our offense.
Now, that's Drew Brees talking about Jared Cook, his new tight end they picked up, who played with the Raiders previously. Cook is a very tall, rangy tight end that can stretch the field. He's got freakish athletic skills, and I'm not comparing him to Jimmy Graham, but he's got that type of ability. He's such a difficult guy to match up with because of his length and his strength, and he's got great speed too. I mean, if you've seen some highlights, go on YouTube and put in Jared Cook and pull up some of his lights from Oakland. I mean, that guy can flat out fly. He can really move for a tight end. So he's a tight end with great speed and good hands, and he's got that big, long-rangey frame that's hard to defend in jump ball situations, in red zone situations. Jared Cook could be a real, real asset to the Saints team this year. Here's Drew Brees on how the offense changes when Cook's in the game.
Well, you know, we're only 3 days into it, right? But I think he's certainly a guy who can run. He's got great length, so he's got a big catch radius. You feel confident with those 50-50 balls, you know. You feel like there's a lot of places where you can throw it, where he can get it, and the other guy can't. So anytime you have a target like that, you feel like that's a good matchup. You know, obviously a lot of attention goes to Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara, and so I think having a weapon like that, in addition to the other pieces that we have as well, I think that just they complement each other really, really well.
All right, we'll take a break and come back with more Saints talk. That was Drew Brees talking about his new tight end, Jared Cook. This is the Jordy Holtberg Show. I'm Jeff Horchak filling in for Jordy. You've got us on 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Never play cards with a guy whose last name is Estate. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Holtberg Show. Live and local. 103.7 The Game.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Jordy Holtberg Show here on 103.7 The Game as we get you set for a beautiful Memorial Day weekend. Jeff Horchak with you till 4 o'clock, filling in for Jordy this afternoon. We're talking sports, specifically Saints football. OTA's underway right now in Metairie. And we've got some more sound from the Saints, specifically Drew Brees and Sean Payton, on some of their impressions of some of the new players. We were talking in the last segment about Jared Cook, the new tight end the Saints just signed from Oakland, and how he may fit into the picture, and Drew Brees giving his comments on Jared. You know, Drew has really made the career of a number of tight ends. The one that specifically stands out, obviously, is Jimmy Graham, who got drafted out of Miami and was a very raw prospect, and then Drew turned him into a Pro Bowl weapon and basically the most feared tight end in the game during his time with the Black and Gold. And then he decided to go to Seattle and get a big paycheck, and his career's really never been the same since he left New Orleans, and now he's in Green Bay. But it just hadn't been the same, and Drew fed him the ball. He set him up, and he's such an accurate passer that he put him in position to be one of the lethal tight ends that he was. But he makes tight ends. He really makes their job a lot easier, and I think Jared Cook's one of those guys that, you know, he played with Derek Carr, who's not a bad player, but he's no Drew Brees. We'll see how much better he is with number 9 throwing the ball to him. Should be a lot of fun, and I'm curious to see how that changes this offense or really gives him just another option and also will open up Alvin Kamara, give him more space to work. We're going to now go to the Ardco Equipment Hotline and take a call.
Yeah, good we afternoon. Got Frank, man.
Good afternoon, Frank. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm kind of hesitant. Clint already got the sounder. I'm sure he's going to play it. But we may be hyping up this Cook guy the way we did Fleener.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, you're right. Fleener was a guy who was supposed to be a coming into his prime and he ended up being a bust. But you just don't know till you get him in the game. So we won't really be able to tell for, you know, a few more months. But we'll see. I mean, you got to take a shot. They had to go get somebody because, you know, Ben Watson retired briefly and they didn't really. Those two guys they had, Hill and the other tight end they had, just obviously weren't going to take you to the next level. So, hey, we'll see. We'll know in a few months if Cook is the real deal.
Yeah, I don't blame you for trying to say the other guy's last name because I can't even pronounce it and I'm from here.
Yeah.
The other thing, I don't want to take up too much of your time, but I just want to say special congratulations to all the kids graduating tonight at St. Martinville Senior High. Wish them all the best.
Absolutely, Frank. Appreciate that. Yeah, a lot of kids graduating from area high schools and, of course, universities. So congratulations to them. That's quite an honor, and wish them the very best in the future. You must be from St. Martinville. Is that correct?
Yes, sir, I am. I have a son graduating tonight. He played football when he was 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11.
Nice. Well, Frank, hey, man, you guys enjoy yourself. Congratulations to your son and all the other graduates around the area, and enjoy your Memorial Day weekend.
Thank you, sir. You too.
All right, thanks a lot, Frank, on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. It's still open, 337-706-0111. We're talking a little Saints football, and he brought up a good point. We don't know how good Cook's going to be. Will he be another Fleener, or will he be the next Jimmy Graham? You know, we don't know. Something in between there would be pretty good. I don't think Jared Cook is a guy that's going to be here long. They're not looking at him as a long-term fix at tight end. He's a 1 or 2 year guy, and they draft this kid out of Notre Dame. I forgot his name. I know he's got a unique.
Alizé Mack.
He's got a unique name. He's got a cool name, Alizé Mack. I think this is a guy that they're looking at as the future.
Alizé fits well in New Orleans, right?
Oh, yeah. It's a hip name. It's a unique name. You don't hear many Alizés. But I think that's the guy they're looking at maybe, you know, the future of the position. Cook is a guy 1 or 2 years. But if you get 1 or 2 good years out of him and it gets you to the next level, then it's worth it. And if you've seen some video of him, Fleener, you know, Fleener was a Stanford guy who played with Andrew Luck and had a few good years in Indianapolis. And then the Saints signed him and thought, okay, we can get the same production out of him. And Fleener just never panned out. I mean, he wasn't a good blocker. He didn't run good routes. And he just never seemed to be the same once he left Andrew Luck. Now, I don't know if that was because he had played with Luck and had that chemistry. But he just never gave the Saints what they needed. And I was really disappointed in him. I really thought he was going to be a solid tight end. And he just didn't work out. So, you know, it happens sometimes. Sometimes I don't even know where Fleener is now. Do you know where he is?
I think he's just collecting an unemployment check.
So he's not even with the team now.
I couldn't tell you, to be honest.
Yeah,
with
I haven't heard anything about him. Once he was done with the Saints, I never heard anything. He was a pretty high draft pick coming out of Stanford. So that was one of those you took a chance and it didn't work out. Drew Brees also getting used to his new running back teammate Latavius Murray, who they picked up from Minnesota. And Drew talked a little bit about how Murray has impressed him. Now that he's got to get used to a new tailback.
Look around the league, you know, every team, you know, you have that running back room that typically brings different skill sets and you're able to mix and match. And I think our offense has proven that, you know, we do a lot of things with two backs in the game. And so it just gives us a lot of flexibility, gives a lot for the defense to have to worry about and game plan for. And again, we're only 3 days into it, but I'm impressed with what I've seen with him as well.
Now, Mark Ingram, there were a lot of people who were torn on Mark Ingram. They said, you know, we should have re-signed the guy because he and Kamara had such great chemistry together, the 1-2 punch. And then other people said, he's a little overrated. He's a product of the system. Well, that remains to be seen. We'll see what he does in Baltimore. But they decided to go in a different direction, not re-sign him and bring in Murray. Now, Murray is a bigger back. Physically, he's taller. He's about 6'3". Mark was a much shorter, compact back. Is he a better back than Ingram? Well, like I said, it remains to be seen. Will he give the Saints what Ingram gave them? It remains to be seen. Just like Cook, we don't know until we actually get him in a game. But I think with the system, the way the Saints' offensive line is built, you've got a guy like Kamara who is just a nightmare for opposing defenses, so versatile. It'll help Murray because you're not asking Murray to be the horse or the mule. He's not going to get 30 touches a game. You just need him to pound it inside, maybe catch out of the backfield some, depending on how that offense is designed for certain games, certain matchups. But he's a much bigger back than Ingram. Now, Ingram had issues with fumbling. There were times when he coughed it up and it was like, oh my God. But when he held on to the football, he would stick it up in there and he ran hard. Now, early in his career with the Saints, he didn't. He would go out of bounds and he looked like a bust. I really thought Mark Ingram was going to be a straight-up bust. But then the last 2 to 3 years, he kicked it in, he started to punch it up inside, run hard, and he showed his worth. But he and Kamara had such a great relationship. He kind of helped Kamara when he came into the league, and that was well documented. And we don't know if the chemistry will be quite the same with Murray. You know, anytime you change personnel, things change. So we'll see. Again, the Cook acquisition and the Murray acquisition are going to be critical this year on that offense to see if both those guys end up being really good acquisitions and they fit perfectly, then this offense is going to be unreal. If they don't, you know, we may see some drop back on this offense or setbacks. I don't know. We'll see. Time will tell. But that's what OTAs are about, getting the new guys in, getting the reps out there and seeing if they can fit in. It'll be interesting to see how those guys adapt to the Saints offense, which is quite a bit different than what Oakland had and the Vikings had. Sean Payton recently has been talking as well to the media about some of the new acquisitions, and he also talked a little bit about Trayvon Darrell, the native of Brobridge. I got a chance to cover Trayvon when he was at Brobridge High and then, of course, went on to play for LSU, and he's been trying to make this team. He's had some injury issues of late, but the Saints are keeping him around because they see the potential that he has. Here's Sean Payton on Trayvon Darrell.
Well, he's healthy. You know, he's had a whole offseason to get healthy. I think he's in better shape. He's a little stronger in his lower body. So it's good to have him out here so we can get an evaluation and begin to work with him.
Now, I remember Coven Trayvon at Brobridge. Now, he played alongside Kavari Holmes. They had two really good dynamic receivers. Both of them went to LSU. Kavari was a track star as well and then eventually left LSU. But both those guys, that team they had almost got to the Superdome. They were very, very talented. And Trayvon is probably the most dominant wide receiver I've ever covered as far as in sports, because I remember he was skinny as a rail, and he's still very lean. But like Sean said, he's starting to get stronger, starting to fill out that frame. But he was skinny in high school. But he was super fast, and he was very physical. And jump ball situations, I remember specifically one game, and I'm trying to remember who the opponent was. It may have been that game against Neville, and Neville beat him and got to the Dome semifinal game. But teams were double and triple teaming Trayvon. And it was a jump ball in the end zone. I was in the corner of the end zone shooting the game with my camera. And they threw it up. And Trayvon had two or three guys hanging off of him. And he went up and out jumped them all and came down with the ball for the touchdown. And then stood over them as they laid on the ground and growled like that and flexed. And it was like, wow. And he was skinny. I mean, in high school, you know, Trayvon was about 6'2", and he was probably 170 pounds soaking wet with rocks in his pockets. I mean, he was skinny. But he was, you could see the talent and the ability. And he went to LSU, and of course, you know, the quarterback situation had been up in flux a lot during his time at LSU, so he didn't get consistent balls thrown his way. But even at LSU, in the short time he was there, he showed that, you know, he had some big playability. And the Saints took a shot on him, signed him as a free agent. He's been trying to make the team. So it would be nice to see another local product make that team and make plays for the black and gold, just like Devery Henderson did many years back and carved himself out a pretty good career. We're going to take a break, come back with more Jordy Holtberg Show, and we'll talk with Juan Kincaid, the sports director at Fox 8. He'll give us the latest on the Saints OTAs. You got us on 103.7 The Game. Welcome back, everyone, to the Jordy Holtberg Show. Jeff Horchak filling in for Jordy on this Friday. This Memorial Day weekend is coming up. If you're out on the roads this evening, be careful this weekend because a lot of traffic is out there. It's a jam-packed weekend when it comes to traffic flow because of the weekend, so be careful. We're going to talk more Saints football now with Juan Kincaid, the sports director of Fox 8 in New Orleans. He's been covering the Saints as they are involved in the OTAs right now, getting a look at some of the new rookies as well as some of the new acquisitions. Juan, good afternoon, and welcome to the show. Thanks for coming on, my friend.
Hey, Jeff. How are you, man?
Good, man. Good. I want to ask you, Juan, what's your take on the OTAs so far? I know is this kind of like a dress rehearsal for the rookies and some of the new guys for the media to kind of get to see them in the new uniforms and run some routes? And the veterans obviously know the routine, and some of the newer acquisitions like Jared Cook and Latavius Murray. But let me ask you specifically about the rookie class. Anything stand out to you early on?
Not really. I mean, because, you know, just looking at the machine gun practice, that was Thursday's practice number three of the three this week. Mm-hmm. And it really is a glorified tag scrimmage practice. It's all it is. And this time of year, Jeff, is really more about getting these guys in condition and getting the younger players kind of up to speed on how Sean Payton likes to do things, whether it be the pace of practice, the cadence in practice, learning the playbook. I mean, these guys have a lot to get under their belts right now in these 12 to 15 workouts leading up to the mini camp in mid-June. They got to learn a lot between now and then take that into the off-season with the off-season voluntary workouts and eventually the training camp. And some of these guys aren't going to be around for training camp. It depends on how well they can acclimate themselves now. So it's hard to find somebody standing out in a group right now because, again, they're not tackling. They're not in pads. They're basically just running and catching the ball and doing stuff like that. So it's like trying to evaluate a lineman and they don't have pads. They're not tackling. And they're not blocked. You know, it's something like that. It's just – you really are just happy to see all the guys out here and then paying attention to the guys that did not practice.
Makes a lot of sense. Makes a lot of sense. Now, the Saints picked up a couple guys on offense that they hope can be players this year, and Jared Cook, the tight end, and, of course, Latavius Murray, running back. And these guys are veterans. They've been in the league a few years, so they kind of know the routine, but they're with a new team. And we heard some sound bites from Drew earlier talking about Jared Cook and what he thinks he adds. Is Jared Cook really like a 1 to 2 year fix at this tight end position? That's what it kind of strikes me as.
Well, I think it is, and the money you're paying him, but I think he is a guy that comes in here and gets you 1 year, maybe two. And you're hoping it's productive 1 and 2 years. And based on what he's done in the past, more specifically at Oakland, you would think he can get himself between 60 and 70 catches this year, which would kind of get you close to what Jimmy Graham did to this franchise about 5 years ago. They really haven't had that threat at tight end since Graham left here. And so I know they would love to have Drew Brees have at least another option throwing the ball to. One of the biggest problems with this team right now is you got Michael Thomas and a bunch of guys at the number two receiver and three that you don't hear much from most of the games. And they've got to find a better option for someone besides Michael Thomas. And he's going to get his. He's going to get his 1,000 yards, but teams are shadowing a player in front of him, putting a player behind him. They're moving their defense over to him. So it really is an opportune time for a number two guy, Cameron Meredith, Tre'Quan Smith, whoever, step up and grab that number two spot. But they also think that Jared Cook being here, he can kind of help out with what they're lacking at the number two receiver spot by being a solid tight end that could be more offensively speaking.
We're talking with Juan Cade, sports director at Fox 8 New Orleans, talking a little Saints as they're in the middle of OTAs. You know, we've seen Drew Brees, Juan. He's really made some tight ends' careers. I mean, Jimmy Graham just hadn't been the same since he left. Now, he's had some injury issues, but Drew, because he's such an accurate passer and such a leader, he really can make a tight end almost look better than maybe he really is. And I guess that's what, you know, what they're hoping, like you said, to catch a little lightning in the bottle with Cook. Because look at Cody Fleener. I mean, Fleener never turned out to be much, and it makes you wonder. We were trying to figure out, where is he? Is he on a roster somewhere now?
That's a good question. I don't know. I haven't talked about Cody Fleener since he left here.
Yeah.
And that was a mistake the Saints made. They paid too much money for a guy that didn't give you nearly the production for what you paid for him. And you're right. Drew Brees has made a lot of receivers a lot of money and gotten them a lot of catches than they may not have gotten anywhere else. Think of Lance Moore. He was fantastic here with the Saints, and Drew Brees caught everything on his way. But he left here, ended up going to two other teams, and now he's retired after 2 years. So I think the receivers understand what they have here in Drew, one of the most accurate quarterbacks of all time in the league. You give him a window to throw the ball to, he's going to find that hole and do his catching. So guys have been spoiled here, but you're right. They don't do as well after they leave here. I mean, put Brandon Cooks aside. He's a special talent.
Right.
But for the most part, the receivers haven't done much once they left New Orleans to Drew Brees.
Let's talk about Latavius Murray. Obviously, he had some success in Minnesota, but he's a different type of back than Mark Ingram. Size-wise, his style, he's different. And when they let Ingram move on to Baltimore, then they went ahead and signed Murray. He looks like he's a bigger back, taller, longer, but do you think he'll be able to give them what they need? But he's in a different situation here, too, because when you've got Alvin Kamara there as well, it's not like you're asking Murray to carry the ball 30 times a game. Just certain spells and, I guess, certain positions or situations maybe they'll use, especially in the red zone.
Well, I think you're right. And I think the reason why Mark Ingram was allowed to leave, it wasn't a money issue, because at the end of the day, he ended up taking about $500,000 more, something like that, with the Ravens than he could have gotten here. So it wasn't really a money issue. I think for the Saints, and I've been giving this some thought, I think it was more of Mark Ingram's touches as the year went on last season. They started getting less and less. He became less and less involved in the offense, and it was really more centered around Alvin Kamara. And so you'd like to think that this year, his third year, this next year, he's going to start getting more and more touches in the offense. It's going to be centered around him. And so you want a guy like Latavius Murray who's going to give you a change of pace. He's more of an upright runner compared to when Mark Ingram's kind of low and compact and just puts his head down. Murray's a good running back, though. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think he's going to be a fine piece of this offense. but you're not asking him to give you the same kind of touches that Mark Ingram was getting here last season and the year before that. So I think it's a different kind of running back. He can be an effective running back in his system. If he can catch the ball out of the backfield, that will help his calls even more. And I don't think the offense misses a beat. I don't think running back is their issue. One thing they will miss with Mark Ingram, Mark Ingram was a heck of a blocking back in the backfield, mm-hmm. protecting Drew Brees' side. So if Latavius Murray can be anything close to that in terms of blocking, then you're okay with it.
Are you hearing, Juan, anything about Gerald McCoy, former Buccaneer, and is there any interest from the Saints? Because I'd read a few things. Is there any legit interest, or is that just kind of rumors?
I think there's tons of interest from the Saints because I think, you know, you look at that defensive front, Sheldon Rankin, you're not sure when he's coming back. We know he's not going to be ready for the beginning of the season. And we're thinking, and talking to Deuce McAllister, the former Saint, our analyst, we're thinking that it's going to be a pup list for him, so week 9 of the regular season, he comes back full healthy. Mm-hmm. But again, it's an Achilles injury. You don't know. So the Saints have... They've had some needs on that defensive front. They went out in the draft during the season, Malcolm Brown and Mario Edwards, those two guys, defensive tackle, defensive end, respectively. They're going to come in here. They're veterans. They're good football players. They should help that defensive front. But, man, when you got a guy like Gerald McCoy on the open market right now, it's going to cost you.
Right.
But if you're willing to bite the bullet, he is a fantastic pickup for any defense. I mean, he's now what Ndamukong Suh used to be, the guy that everybody wanted. But you just can't afford, and they want to afford to pay him. So I think the Saints have a legitimate want for him and a definite need for him. But whether or not they want to fork over that kind of money for him, he's going to make $13 million this year. So he'll have to take a pay cut. But is it enough of a pay cut to where a team like the Saints can get involved? That remains to be seen. It becomes a money issue, as it always does.
Yeah, I mean, that would be interesting. He seems like the type of guy, McCoy, that to me – would also fit in with the locker room. His personality, his demeanor, and I know there have been talk that he and Drew have a relationship, both Texas guys, but he just seems like he would be a good fit as well, chemistry-wise, as well as his talent.
I agree. I mean, look, Drew Brees said it best the other day. I would rather be on this guy's team than have to face him twice a year, every year, which is what he's done. And McCoy has been fantastic against every team in the NFC South and has given the Saints problems as well on the defensive front. So, again, if you can get him here and get him here at a price that works for you and you get him in for more than 1 year, then you call that a win and you run away with it. And hopefully he does land here. But I think the Saints have done a lot in the offseason already and also are going to rely on some guys that are coming back to help fortify that defensive front. I think it's better than what it was last year. And once Sheldon Rankin comes back into the fold, I think it continues to be a good unit on that side of the ball.
Should be fun, and then when training camp kicks off, it won't be that much longer, and then the season will be here. It's amazing how there's really not much of an off season for the NFL.
It feels like it's training camp weather right now. It's, 89 degrees down here in New Orleans, and a bit of a breeze. That's the one difference from now in training camp. But, yeah, football, it's a 365 sport now, Jeff. I mean, they stop only for a pause to go get more players or a lineup, this, that, and the other, but the guys stay in town most of the year now. I mean, a lot of the Saints players have been in town all year long, you know, living here and you know, raising kids here and getting involved in the community. So they might as well just stay here, work out at the training facility, and then get ready for the OTA that comes around or the mini camp that comes around or whatever is coming. There's always something coming around with this team. So it's a busy time right now, but it's going to start heating up as we get past July.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks so much, Juan. Appreciate the time, man. Great job.
No problem, Jeff. Thanks.
You bet. That's Juan Kincaid, sports director at Fox 8 New Orleans. Always does a great job giving us the latest on the Saints as they are in the middle of OTAs. We'll take a break. Be back with more Jordy Hultberg Show right here on 103.7 The Game.
Live from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
Tigers pulled off another miracle.
This is Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
Touchdown, New Orleans.
Streaming live on the 103.7 The Game mobile app and online at 1037thegame.com.
He struck him out, and the Tigers have won.
This is the Jordy Hultberg Show. Get involved and call 337-706-0111. Follow along at 1037 The Game on Facebook and Twitter. And now it's time. Here's your host, Jordy Hultberg.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Jordy Hultberg Show. I'm Jeff Horchak filling in for Jordy today on this Friday of the Memorial Day weekend. Glad you can be with us. So the ARCO Equipment Hotline is open, 337-706-0111. Talking a little sports here on this Friday afternoon. Want to thank Juan Kincaid of Fox 8 for joining us in the last segment and talking a little bit about the OTAs and some of the new players that the Saints have acquired in the offseason, like Jared Cook and Latavius Murray. Should be pretty interesting to see how those guys work into the system, and hopefully they'll end up having some big seasons, and the Saints will get back to the Super Bowl and win another Lombardi. And then Drew can retire, and they'll have to find another quarterback. And that's going to be a rough day for Saints fans. And that's the big question is, life after Drew, when will that be? And I think when Drew was in town this week, Clint said earlier when he was over there meeting with the media, and even with some little kid asked him, hey, when are you going to retire? And he said, well, someday. So that's that. You never know. We don't know when that's going to be, but that will be the big question. But right now, he's the quarterback, and the Saints are looking to get to that next level and get back to the Super Bowl. We'll see. Do we have our no, not yet. Okay. We're going to talk some LSU baseball now because they play Mississippi State tonight at 6:30. And they've had a couple bizarre games in Hoover. I mean, bizarre as they get. They lost to Mississippi State a few nights ago after going 17 innings, and that was a game that went into the wee hours of the morning. In fact, I don't believe the game ended until around, what, 4 something in the a.m.? It was insane how long that game
was. It was about a little after 3 a.m. our time. Okay. I know some people in the East Coast were, or 4 a.m. out on the East Coast. And they didn't get back to the hotel room until about, like, 4:30.
Unbelievable. Yeah. But they came up short in that game and then had to turn around the next day and play a game against Auburn, an elimination game, on very little rest, very little sleep. Now, these guys are young. They're young guys, but still, that's tough to do a turnaround that quick. And they pulled it out in the ninth inning. They scored 2 runs on a wild pitch, and it was as bizarre a play as you're going to see. But, hey, it was legit, and it worked, and they won the game. And now they're still alive, and they play Mississippi State again tonight. So they get another crack at him tonight, which I know they're happy about. And Paul Maneri, you know, he really had never seen anything like he saw the other night against Auburn and winning that game in the ninth inning. Never seen anything like it before, but, hey, he'll take it.
You know, I told the players after the game that there's a saying in baseball that every day you show up to the field, you're liable to see something you've never seen before. And I can't recall in 37 years that I've ever seen a walk-off win with 2 runs scoring on a short, wild pitch like we did. But in all honesty, after last night, we'll take whatever we can get. We're happy to do it.
So that's Paul Maneri on how bizarre that was of a win over Auburn. But, hey, it counts. They'll take it. And like you said, you never know what you're going to see at the ballpark. It is a game that has many twists and turns. He also touched on who his possible pitcher will be tonight. Now, I haven't seen anything from LSU on if they've released. Have they released the starter?
Yeah, it's Clay Moffitt getting the start tonight.
Clay Moffitt. So,
yeah, that came out just like moments ago.
Okay, so that's breaking news here on the Jordy Holbrook Show. Clay Moffitt gets the start.
Yep, there's our alert.
Hey, that's why you tune into to 103.7 The Game for breaking news. So he's going to get the start tonight. And that's another thing that throws your pitching rotation into a tizzy when you have a 17-inning game, because you start using arms that you figured you could use in the following game, you used them. So that also throws their pitching staff into a bit of a tough situation. But, hey, you got to do what you got to do. Survive in advance. You got to find guys that will step in. Some guys may have to throw a little more than they hoped, but you got to do what you got to do. So we'll see. It'll be interesting to see. How much of their bullpen do you think they used that game?
I think they've used plenty of it. I mean, I know a lot of the guys they've used, they've wound up going a lot longer innings, and definitely that's going to be something to keep an eye on.
I didn't see, Clint, did you see, is that the longest game in SEC tournament history?
Yeah, that's the longest game in SEC tournament history.
Okay, and how long was it total time?
Like over 6 hours.
I mean, that is a heck of it. And that's the thing about baseball. You play till somebody wins the game, you know?
Except unless you're in the All-Star game and you go to the 18th inning and use all your pitchers,
true,
and it's a draw.
All-Star game, but normally...
Don't get me started on that.
No, you're playing till somebody wins. If you have to play 85 innings, and that's... You just don't see it in football, obviously, for obvious reasons. If they play, then you know, guys would die because of the physicality and the length of the game. But and then basketball, you know, you keep playing usually until somebody... Till somebody ends up with more points. It's just, I'm not a big tie guy. I've never been a big tie guy in sports. I feel like no matter what the sport you play, till somebody wins. But it's not always the case. But in baseball, you play it. You play it out. So the fans that watched that game the other night got their money's worth on that ticket. My goodness.
They really did. And, you know, it got me thinking, especially, I guess, 17-inning ball game. I know the MLB is proposing this. Have a base run on first after you get beyond, like, the 12th inning, please.
Yeah, I think there has to be somewhat of a limit at some point, you know, yep. because the problem is that you also lose your fan base. You know, half your fan base falls asleep or leaves, or even people watching on TV have to go to bed at some point. But I tell you what, if you're a diehard, you're going to watch through and through to the very end. Let's go to the ARCO Equipment Hotline and take a call. You're on the Jordy Holbrook Show. Go ahead, Hunter.
Man, that game against Mississippi State, I had work at 5 in the morning, and I was up until 3 o'clock tagging along.
So you stayed up the whole time, huh? You stayed up the whole time.
I stayed up the entire time, and it was worth every second. I just wish my boys would pull it out.
Well, you're a committed Tiger fan. See, that's what I'm saying. I knew there were some people that stayed up to watch the entire game. Thanks for the call, Hank. Yeah, I knew there were people that did that. You know, they stayed up. I had to go to bed, obviously, because I have to get up at the crack of dawn. I get up about – so actually when I got up for work that morning, they were still playing because apparently the game didn't end until after 3, and I wake up about 2:50. So they were still playing when I woke up. It's nuts, but that's baseball for you. And, you know, hey, I mean – nobody wanted to give in, but they're going to get another crack at Mississippi State tonight, 6:30 first pitch from Hoover. So we'll see if LSU can avenge that loss and keep playing along, get to the weekend. Because if you get to the weekend, you know you've done something right. And we knew that they were going to that if they won a few games in this tournament, they would probably get a regional, get the chance to host a regional. Now we think that it looks like that's probably going to be the case. If they win tonight, that's just icing on the cake, get to the weekend. But you have to come out of that loser's bracket. That's tough. You got to win extra games. But, hey, you know, LSU's done it before. And they seem to have a little extra juice when it comes to the SEC tournament. You never can count them out. Even when you think, this team's maybe not an SEC-caliber championship team, they win bizarre, wacky ways. Is there – what do you think it is, Clint? Is there any superstition with LSU and Hoover?
I don't know if they're superstition. I think it's just the fact that every time they go to Hoover, Alabama, they wind up winning in some way or another, some form or fashion. Also just kind of shows how baseball is.
No, it's such a wacky sport, but it's a great sport. It's just you can't count a team out. You know, one wild pitch can cost you the season or cost you the game. It's so bizarre how games are won. And you just don't you see wacky plays in football and basketball and all sports, but baseball just seems to have more of those. I don't know why that is. I guess it's just the margin of error is so small when it comes to you know, one pitch can totally change the whole setup for a game or cost you the game. And I guess, you know, basketball, you can say the same thing too, one turnover, one missed shot, and football, one hit, one catch. But baseball just seems to have wacky finishes, and that was one that will go down as one of the wackiest and bizarre. But if you're an LSU fan, then it's going to go down as one that you'll always remember. You think that play, Clint, will go down with the Bluegrass Miracle and some of the Warren Morris home run? You know, obviously there was more at stake in those games, especially the Warren Morris home run. That was the College World Series, bottom of the ninth. You know, that was.
Well, I think this one will be one of those places that goes down in history, not quite as much as Warren Morris or even the Riley Possum, if we're going to go more recent history. But it's still going to be something people talk about for years. Just like the walk-off field goal by Cole Tracy last year.
That's true. That was another one. If you look at some of the great plays in LSU sports history, I think this will definitely go down as one of the great ones. And wacky, too. Bizarre. I throw the Bluegrass Miracle in there because that was a bizarre, wacky finish to a game, too. The Warren Morris home run wasn't really wacky. It was just dramatic and clutch. But the Devery Henderson catch in the Bluegrass Miracle was to win the game when everybody thought the game was over. And then this play in Hoover with the wild pitch scoring two runs in the bottom of the ninth was also a wacky play. Although it was clutch, but it was just a bizarre way to win the game. It wasn't like the guy stepped up to the plate and hit a three-run jack and won it. But, hey, it counted, and they're moving on, and they're playing state tonight. Clint? What's your take? You think LSU has what it takes to get to Omaha this year? I mean, just from what you've seen this year, or you think they're not quite good enough?
I think they've got every chance to make it to Omaha because again, you know, we talk about how LSU, they've had a tendency to be able to get things done on the field over the last few years, especially once the calendar flips over to May. It feels like they have the possibility. It's all about who they're paired up against, because if they're paired up against, say, I know some of the projections have them going to play a team like a Vandy, I think you wind up having a harder role of things if you're going to be in, paired up with that kind of kind of opponent or UCLA or what have you. But if you're wind up probably being a 14 or a 13 seed, which seems like a pipe dream, mm-hmm. I think you have a better chance of making it to Omaha because I think you could wind up getting past some of the teams that aren't a 1 or a 2 seed.
Now, who I know this is – there's a lot of baseball.
Yeah, we don't know
left,
exactly what it is. But
who is your favorite? Who do you think is going to win the – I mean, who do you think is the team to beat in right now in college baseball? I know there's still a lot of games to play. We haven't even started regionals yet. But
yeah.
Who's the team that you think is the favorite to win it?
Vandy. I mean, Vandy feels like is the strong favorite, and I'm sure that's probably going to wind up sounding like a cop-out to some people.
No.
But the Commodores are just a damn good team. It's the one sport that Vanderbilt is actually good at, and it's weird.
Well, hey, I mean, that Vanderbilt program has been pretty solid for quite a while. It's not like this is overnight. But, hey, LSU may get a shot, you know? May get a shot, and it would be interesting to see an all-SEC final in the College World Series. And it could happen. We'll see. So a lot of baseball to be played. They got to get through the SEC tournament and then get to a regional, which we think they're probably going to hope. And that should go to a super regional, and then you win that, you get to the promised land of college baseball, which is Omaha, Nebraska. Now, I've never been able to cover a College World Series in Omaha. I always wanted to. I've been to Omaha, seen the ballpark, but never been able to cover it. I've heard it's one of those to put on your bucket list when it comes to sports because it is it's quite something to see. And maybe someday. Maybe someday I'll get up there. Clint, have you ever been to Omaha?
No, I haven't.
I've been to Omaha on a job interview, and I got to see the ballpark. It was at night. It was closed, but I looked in there. But I've never been to actual games. But I went to the spot where the old ballpark was, and people said that was a special place. Of course, LSU won a number of national titles there. The new ballpark, obviously, is much bigger, and it's corporate, and they needed a bigger facility to be able to house and make more money and get more people in there. But they said there was something special about the old Rosenblatt Stadium that just you can't really replicate in the new ballpark. And I understand that. Of course, that was where Warren hit the dramatic bottom of the ninth game-winning homer to lift LSU over Miami in that national championship years ago. That was in 1996. And that's a hit. That's a home run that, you know, we'll be talking about forever. And I know Warren personally, so I've talked to him many times about that. And it's just amazing how that one swing of the bat changed his whole career and made him a rock star, really, to this day. I mean, he still has appearances, makes appearances all across the country because of that one play. And he had a nice little big league career as well. Couldn't ask for a nicer guy for that to happen. I mean, you talk about one of the nicest people and human beings out there. But that's something that's going to live in lore forever. We'll take a break, come back with more sports talk. We'll talk a little more LSU baseball, trying to effort Jacques Doucet from Hoover and get him on, talk a little bit about the feel for this team now that they're back in the hunt for the SEC championship. We'll take a break, come back with more Jordy Holtberg Show. You've got us on 103.7 The Game.
There's only one place you'll find all of the movers, the shakers, and Tigers newsmakers. And it's right here on the Jordy Holtberg Show on 103.7 The Game.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Jordy Holtberg Show. Jeff Horchak filling in for Jordy on this Friday afternoon as we get you set for the Memorial Day weekend. I want to tell you a little bit about the Houston Astros weekend getaway sweepstakes. It's powered by Lafayette Roofing in a loft, Houston downtown. Enter in the Clubhouse Rewards Club to win four tickets to the Saturday and Sunday games, game day parking, and a ballpark tour, and a one-night hotel stay. This getaway is for the June 8th and 9th games for the Astros versus Orioles. Enter in the Clubhouse Rewards Club at 1037thegame.com. And the Astros play a weekend series this weekend against the Boston Red Sox. Ben Love will be live from Minute Maid Park in Bumper to Bumper Sports tonight from 4 to 7. So you'll be getting the latest on the Astros as they face the Red Sox in this homestand. And Wade Miley, the former Southeastern Louisiana star pitcher and LaRonger, Louisiana native, getting the start tonight for Houston. And Wade's had a pretty solid year so far for the Astros. He's 4-2 with a 3.51 earned run average. He has 37 strikeouts. And the Astros right now leading the NL West at 33-18 on the season. So it's been a good start so far for Houston. It's good to see a local boy playing for Houston and getting the ball tonight against Boston. This is a big series. Obviously, it's Memorial Day weekend, so there'll be a lot of people in town and off this weekend of work on Monday. So they'll probably have pretty good crowds out at Minute Maid. And then you're, of course, playing the Red Sox, which are a nationally respected team and a team that has a fan base really all across the country. Very similar to the New York Yankees. Seems like anywhere you go, you're going to find a Red Sox fan or a Yankees fan. And so I expect those games tonight to be, or this weekend in Houston, to probably be sellouts, most of them, because of who you're playing and the fact that the Astros are having another solid season as well. And then you got Wade Miley on the hill tonight. So you got a local boy. So it should be fun. But again, Ben Love will be live from Minute Maid from 4 to 7 tonight. He'll be talking with some of the brass for the Astros and getting you a feel of how things are going for Houston. Of course, 103.7 The Game is also an affiliate for the Houston Astros, so you can catch Astro games here on the old 103.7 The Game FM and 103.7thegame.com. And we also
an MLB restriction, just like LSU.
Really?
LSU sports we can't have on the app. MLB restricts some online streaming through online streaming. And so does the NFL on Westwood One.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Now, that would be because of their website, because they stream it on.
Yeah, they stream it, and I know extraterrestrials stream it as well. So, yeah, there's that.
Like, okay.
It's a whole thing I just don't know the whole logistics about, but I just know the fact we do not air Astros on 1037thegame.com or the free mobile app. Only way you can catch it is on the FM dial in Acadiana.
.com. So, hey, getting the mic there. Thank you, Clint. Thank you. So you can catch the Astros games on 103.7 FM on the radio dial, but not on the app or on .com. But
yeah,
that's the situation. And same thing with NFL and Westwood One league regulations. So we'll have the Astros game tonight right here on 103.7 The Game.
LSU will be on the rewind, by the way, for those interested, because of the fact that that was just kind of an agreement rather than, oh, hey, we don't know what time LSU would wind up playing on Friday if they made it to Friday.
Gotcha.
And they did, and it kind of just runs right into the show to where we'd have, like, let's say LSU wraps up, is supposed to be playing at 6:30, 6 o'clock pregame. Of course, that could wind up changing. Because that's how these things go. You could have it go a number of different directions. Hopefully, everything goes according to plan. I doubt it, but like I said, crazier things have happened.
So the sports schedule here on 103.7 The Game tonight is you can catch the Astros game at 7:10, first pitch, and then you can catch LSU on Rewind?
Yeah, on the Rewind, 97.7 FM, 1330 AM, and 104.1 FM out in Lake Charles. I believe we're going to have the Astros on the Rewind all weekend long just to kind of free up some room for kind of just because we don't know what's going to happen with LSU. They can win tonight against Mississippi State, then play on Saturday. If they win there, they'll obviously play on Sunday. So it's just they've got a lot of things they got to deal with over the next, like, 24 to 48 hours to kind of determine the direction going forward. But we're just going to put it on the Rewind the rest of the weekend just in case anybody wants to know.
No, it's tricky. It's tricky when you're having college baseball tournaments because, like you said, you don't know if your team's going to advance or not. And then you know the Astros are playing, that's for sure. So a lot going on because with 103.7 The Game, you can hear Astros baseball, LSU baseball, LSU, all the LSU major sports. And, you know, there's just so much high school football you got on Friday nights, high school basketball. So when it comes to local sports, I mean, lock in. And you also, now they don't get, you don't carry Saints games, right? Unless it's a Monday night game, right, Clint? That you don't carry Saints games unless it's a Monday night game, right?
Yeah, we don't carry the Saints games unless it's a primetime matchup, which they're going to have one right out the gate, week one.
Yeah.
The Houston Texans game is going to be here on 103.7 The Game.
So if it's like a Monday night game on Westwood 1, then we'll air it.
Monday, Sunday, or Thursday.
Okay.
Because, so, I guess, I mean, that's the only thing that's going to be on the air.
Yeah.
So we actually can do that. It's just if it's a noon or 3 o'clock game. No way, Jose.
No way, Jose. There's so, people don't realize how many restrictions there are by these professional leagues, and even some of the major college conferences too. But when it comes to using video and audio, I remember, you know, back in the day, you could go to LSU football games, all the TV stations, local affiliates, and shoot highlights of the games, right, and air them. Then they got strict about, well, you can air the highlights during a sportscast, but you can't put them on your website.
Yeah.
So, and everybody streams their sportscasts and stories. So then we're like, you can't put the video on because the SEC has rights to all the video. But what? Why, how do they have rights to the video that we shot? If you're taking their
That's
shot,
what I'm saying.
It's confusing, and I think it's gotten out of hand, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's really even more so for the bigger games, you know, like the SEC title game where literally if you're a sportscaster and you're supposed to be filming the game, you can't do it anymore.
I know.
Like, it's ridiculous.
Well, it defeats the whole purpose. The whole idea was to have local affiliates go to the games and be able to shoot video and come back and promote the program, but it's such a moneymaker now. We'll take a break, come back with more Jordy Holbrook Show. You got us on 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
The hottest topics and dousing them in gasoline. It's the Jordy Hultberg Show on Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game.
Welcome back to the Jordy Hultberg Show. Jeff Horchak filling in for Jordy on this Friday, Memorial Day weekend. Join us now live on the ARCO Equipment Hotline is Jacques Doucet, sports anchor and reporter at WAFB-TV. He's coming to us live from Hoover as he covers the Tigers as they get set to face Mississippi State tonight. Jacques, welcome back to the show, man. Thanks for fitting us in.
Hey, Jeff. Good to be with you.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit, Jacques. This has been a wild ride for this baseball team. When we talked a few days ago going into the tournament, you were like, hey, they win a game or two, that'd be good, and maybe they'll lock down a regional bid. And they've had two back-to-back bizarre games, that 17-inning thriller against Mississippi State, which they lost, and then they beat Auburn in a bizarre way. I mean, have you ever seen a game end like that? Ninth inning, down a couple runs, and they get a wild pitch, and they score two runs on it. And here they are getting another crack tonight at Mississippi State. How's the mood with this team right now?
Well, Jeff, I think we saw two things that you never see in a lifetime within 19 hours of baseball. First off, it was the longest game in the history of LSU baseball. I guess LSU's been playing baseball since the early 1900s, and never has a game gone as long in terms of both innings, 17, and the length of the game. It was nearly 7 hours to play the thing, wrapping up at after 3 in the morning. And the guys barely got any sleep, had to turn around and play a game at 12:30 in the heat of the day. And, you know, it's funny, you can swing away for nine innings and only score a couple of runs. And then the Auburn catcher can't find the ball at his feet. He kicks it away and then they throw it away and you score two runs like that and win a game. I think most people would tell you one run scoring would be normal, but from a guy to roll all the way from second base into home on a wild pitch that Auburn kind of threw away as well to win a game was pretty unprecedented. Auburn pretty much had never seen it. Paul Menary said in 37 years, I don't think I've seen that either. Brent Broussard's father, who was a coach at U High for many years and was a second baseman on Skip Bertman's teams in 85 and 86, said he had never seen anything like it. So in terms of the mood, LSU's pretty happy. You know, the last thing they wanted to do was to lose the Tuesday night game, go home, have to wait all week for the NCAA regionals to be announced in terms of who was hosting. And Coach Menary said pretty bluntly, if they would have lost that game on Tuesday, they would have had a boot camp like practice the rest of the week. It was not going to be pleasant. So they're still here today. Got a chance to play again tonight. Clay Moffitt will pitch for LSU as LSU's pitching is pretty much exhausted at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to ask you, Jacques, because of that record-setting game where they played nearly 7 hours and 17 innings, did that eat up a lot of Maneri's arms and his bullpen and make it really thin for him in these games coming up?
Yeah, it doesn't help at all. I think Coach told me yesterday that he had four guys pitch 70 innings or more. Mm-hmm. So that was a big chunk. And then Mississippi State has the advantage on LSU as well because you know, you get rewarded by your seeding, and LSU had to play on Tuesday, and Mississippi State didn't. So that was pitching that LSU burned that day that the Bulldogs didn't have to burn. So from that perspective, Mississippi State's got a pretty big advantage over LSU in this game. I already had some guy text me, said, let's just get pounded, get out of there, and go home and get ready for the NCAA tournament. We've done enough. But LSU will give it their best shot tonight. You know, one guy I think that could get going for LSU was Daniel Cabrera. Mm-hmm. He was he had such high expectations as a sophomore after what he accomplished as a freshman. So far at the plate here, he's 2-for-16 and has left a lot of guys on base. If he could get a clutch hit or two tonight for LSU, I think that would also you know, help their case a lot.
We're talking with Jacques Doucet, sports anchor reporter, WAFB TV. He's live from Hoover as he covers this LSU baseball team. Jacques, it just seems like, you know, LSU does have magic when it comes to the SEC tournament in Hoover. They've had some wild games and bizarre games. And, you know, again, it remains to be seen where this team is going to be ranked in LSU teams of past. But, I mean, just the way they win these games, and it just seems like they have somewhat of a, I don't know if you call it Maneri magic or what, but it just seems like they find ways to win, and that's what good baseball teams do, though. Even though they may not win the most logical way, I mean, baseball is a crazy sport, so this just kind of fits into what they do, right?
Well, Jeff, today marks the 1-year anniversary of the birth of the legend of Todd Peterson. 1 year ago today, Todd Peterson picked up a bat. Coach Maneri told him to go out there, take 3 strikes, and go sit down. And instead, the big goofy guy swings at a pitch, and he clubs it off the left field wall. He almost hit a homer. When I saw that happen, I said, well, I'll never forget this for the rest of my life. You know, I've watched a million baseball games, and
right,
many of them are forgettable because you play so many. But that's one I would never forget. So that was nuts. Last year, LSU was pounding Florida on a Friday night, and all of a sudden this fog rolls in out of the right field bleachers, and it was like the Chicago Bears and Philadelphia Eagles back in 1989, that playoff game. They had to stop the game, and everyone had to come back at 9 in the morning to finish it off. And then yesterday, it was literally like the ball is just rolling there for 1,000 years, sitting there, just, will somebody pick this thing up? And those 2 runs score. So, yeah, there's been a lot of crazy things. I mean, I go all the way back to 2008. LSU is losing to South Carolina 4-0 in the top of the ninth. They are totally getting dominated. Mm-hmm. And somehow LSU rallies back for 4 runs in the ninth. And then a guy named Blake Dean pipes one over the left field wall for LSU to win 5-4. So Maneri has won this tournament 6 out of 11 years. Even last year's team, which was not nearly a great team by LSU standards, made it all the way to the finals of this tournament. So you're right. When they come here, things go well.
Yeah, it's bizarre. Well, we'll see what happens tonight. Should be interesting. That game is scheduled to start, at 6:30?
Yeah, they're hoping for no later than 6:30. Right now, Ole Miss and Arkansas are 0-0 heading to the fourth. So the LSU game will start 30 minutes after this game is over. So hopefully LSU Mississippi State play this game in 9 innings tonight, Jeff, not 17.
For
so
sure.
We'll have to
Jacques, do you feel, this is the last question before I let you go, do you feel like they've done enough to host a regional? Is that pretty much solidified, you think?
Yeah, Baseball America, I saw their latest projections. They have LSU hosting a regional, I think, with Wright State, Houston, and Baylor, maybe.
Okay.
I think I clicked on D1 Baseball. They had LSU going to Atlanta to a Georgia Tech regional. I got a couple of friends who like to make these trips that wouldn't mind LSU going to Vegas or Miami. But I would think with the amount of tickets LSU sells for regionals and the amount of money an LSU regional produces and LSU's loyal fan support with LSU with 36 wins, I would have to say that they're going to get at least the last of the 16 bids and they'll host. And I think a lot of people are hoping, too, that Southern, who got an automatic bid in Baton Rouge, won't be sent to Baton Rouge, that those guys kind of are across town, I should say, to LSU, get rewarded and sent to a regional where they can travel and kind of take in more of an experience as well.
All right, Jacques, great stuff. Thanks so much for fitting us in. And, yeah, I hope you don't have a 17-inning thriller again tonight. I hope it's 9 innings, you're done.
Yeah, you and me both, brother. So,
all right, thanks a lot. Thank you, Jacques. Appreciate the time, my friend.
Okay, Jeff, talk to you later.
You bet. That's Jacques Doucet, sports anchor, reporter, and LSU expert on 103.7 The Game, coming to us live from Hoover, Alabama, as LSU faced Mississippi State tonight in an elimination game, 6:30. Should be interesting. As Jacques said, you know, they used up a lot of pitchers in that 17-inning game, so their bullpen is really thin, and Mississippi State has the advantage there. So all the arrows are pointing in favor of Mississippi State to win tonight, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to win. So we'll see. Should be fun. I believe that game is again on the SEC Network. Clint, 6:30, first pitch.
Yeah, that's all. Like every game that's on the SEC tournament will be on that SEC Network. I'm like 82 on Cox. I have no idea on the other ones.
Yeah, so you can check that out and watch them. And you can also listen to it on
what? Rewind. 97.7 FM, 1330 AM, and 104.1 FM out in Lake Charles. Normally, it's going to be on 103.7 The Game, but because of the whole Astros Bennett Minute Maid Park, we decided to do the right thing and just keep the Astros conversation going and go to the play-by-play of the Astros and the Red Sox. You got, once again, Wade Miley, Chris Sale on the bump, so that's going to be a fun one.
It should be. And again, remember that Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love is coming up from 4 to 7. He'll be live from Minute Maid Park tonight and have much more on the Astros. They open up a big weekend homestand against the Boston Red Sox. Wade Miley, former Southeastern Lion and La Ronja, Louisiana native, getting the start tonight. He's 4-2 on the year. And should be fun. So Ben will be live from Minute Maid. We'll have you covered. We got you covered here in the game. When it comes to LSU, Pelican, Saints, Astros, high school, you name it, golf, ping pong, lacrosse, hopscotch, you know, jacks, checkers, track and field, doesn't matter. We got you.
Yeah, we got you covered.
Did I miss anything? Cow roping?
I think you might have missed.
Calf roping?
I think you might have missed esports, which would cause a whole other debate that we could probably talk about in the next segment.
Esports. That's true. That's a new sport
it's
now.
It's a thing. Like I said, that's a debatable topic. I think we could definitely get into one day down the road, man.
These video game junkies. We'll take a break and come back with the final segment of the Jordy Hulbert Show. The ARCO Equipment Hotline's open, 337-706-0111. So you got a few minutes left. You want to talk some sports. We'll be back after the break.
Never play cards with a guy whose last name is Estate. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Hultberg Show. Live and local. 103.7 The Game.
Welcome back to the Jordy Hultberg Show. Jeff Horchak filling in for Jordy on this Friday before Memorial Day weekend. A lot of people on the roads on this weekend, traveling from to and fro to visit friends and family. So be careful out there on the roads, because there will be a lot of automobiles out there. We're hearing now that, you know, this could be the busiest travel day of the year. Usually it's around Christmas or New Year's or Easter, but they're saying this could be the busiest. So be careful out there on the roads. There's a lot of construction, obviously, on I-10 around Bro Bridge area. And it can be very treacherous around that area, because the speed limit drops and you've got cars bunched in with 18-wheelers, and you've got those brick walls, the cement walls they put up, which gives you very, very little margin of error. So be very careful if you're heading that direction, because it can be very dangerous, that stretch there with construction. I want everybody to have a happy weekend, a safe weekend. Also, if you're going boating this weekend, a lot of people may be on the water because of the weather. Looks like it's going to be a pretty sunny weekend. Be careful. Make sure you take precautions when it comes to boating and go about the proper boating safety. Everybody should have life jackets in their boats. You should have a life jacket for every person in your boat. That is law. Now, if you get pulled over, you can be ticketed for that. So make sure you have the amount of life jackets in the boat. You have people. And just be careful. Make sure you have a designated boat driver. That's another thing, Clint, that people don't think about is, you know, you want to make sure you have a designated boat driver that's not been drinking and driving too. It's the same as it is on the roads with cars. So you need to abide by those rules, because law enforcement will be out this weekend, especially because I know a lot of people will be in their boats on the water. So just remember that as well, and have yourself a great weekend. Enjoy yourself. If you're off of work Monday, which a lot of people are, enjoy that 3-day weekend. If you're not, hey, either way, enjoy it. Maybe grill up some burgers. I've got some hot dogs I'm probably going to cook up this weekend and do some more packing, because this will be my last weekend to actually get everything packed before I move. So that's what I'll be doing, but I'll be enjoying some sunshine as well. Clint, you got any big plans this weekend?
No, not really. You know, definitely going to be a pretty low-key Memorial Day weekend. I know we'll be back here on Monday, so yeah, definitely going to want to probably just taking it easy.
Awesome. That's a good thing. That's not a bad thing to take it easy, especially on a holiday weekend. This is what, you know, Memorial Day weekend is one of those weekends when people usually cook out, grill out. It starts to get warmer because you're getting closer to summer. Kids are already ready to get the heck out of school. They're antsy, so they're not really focused, and probably teachers are as well. They're ready to get the summer vacation started. So it's usually a pretty chill weekend. We're going to go to the ARCO Equipment Hotline and take a caller. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Jordy Holtberg
Show. Yeah,
we got
him, Dr. Tim, brother.
Dr. Tim, how are you?
Hey, Mr. Jeff, it's good to hear you.
Yes, it's good to be on. How are you?
Fine. Listen, I just want to wish you good luck in your endeavors in Monroe. Glad you're not going too far out of state.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. I will miss Acadiana and this whole region. The people have been so good to me. Thank you so much.
Well, you're not that far away. You'll be covering the Warhawks.
Yep.
Up there.
Yeah, La Tech and Grambling and ULM, that's big up that way. You're right.
Yeah. My good friend, Coach Matt Vietar, is a coach up there. And
yes.
Does a good job. And, you know, you get to see your buddies from UL pretty often. I think they probably stay on the schedule for the Sun Belt.
Right. And they play them every year. Yep. I think this year they're going to be playing in Lafayette, and then next year they come – I'm sorry, this year I think it's in Monroe, and then next year they come to Lafayette. I believe that's it.
Well, look, you have a good weekend, and make sure Trooper behaves himself up there. Don't find my North Louisiana dog or something.
I'll keep him out of trouble. Thanks a lot, Dr. Tim. Thanks for all you've done, and keep in touch.
Oh, I sure will. Hey, happy Memorial Day.
You too. Thanks so much. Dr. Tim Fontenot, a very loyal 103.7 The Game listener, a huge sports fan. He works with McNeese State and their athletic department, and also he also works with the two big high schools there in Ville Platte, Sacred Heart and Ville Platte High, and the T. Cotton Bowl. If you know much about high school football, you know all about the T. Cotton Bowl. He's one of the originators of that, and just a great man. So it's always good to talk to Dr. Tim Fontenot. We've got a few minutes left, and the ARCO Equipment Hotline is open. So if you'd like to talk some sports, what do you think about the NBA playoffs? I mean, we've got the Eastern Conference Finals. Game 6 is tomorrow night. And the Bucks, after winning the first two over Toronto, have lost the last three. So they're in a bit of a jam right now. And I'm wondering, Clint, have you been watching these games? What happened to Milwaukee?
Oh, boy, it's complicated because it feels like Toronto, like Kawhi Leonard has officially gone like, into Kawhi Leonard mode. It's amazing to see what he's been able to do. The Claw is just taking over the Eastern Conference with, like, force.
Tell you what, they've done a good job of defending the Greek Freak and making him work for every shot. And I just am a little stunned because I really thought that Milwaukee, after losing those two in Toronto, would come back home and take care of business in Game 5 and then try to close out the series in 6. And here they are fighting for their life, dropping three straight. Now they've got to win Game 6 tomorrow. They're done. And do you want to see Toronto in the finals? I don't know.
I'd be interested to see it, don't get me wrong, but I think the better matchup would be the Warriors and the Milwaukee Bucks. I think that one would be a lot more entertaining. So with that in mind, I'm like you. It's like I'd much rather see the Milwaukee Bucks go at it with the Golden State Warriors. I feel like that would be a much bigger challenge for them to try and dethrone. They'd have a better chance of dethroning the champs than, say, a team like the Raptors. I feel like the Raptors are Kawhi Leonard and a bunch of other guys, even though Pascal Siakam's definitely stepped up a lot in the last couple games as well. It's weird, but I wouldn't be surprised if this series goes 7.
Well, I just wondered if people also felt weird about having a Canadian team in the NBA Finals, because it's never happened before. Now, the Toronto Blue Jays won the World Series back in the day, remember, with Joe Carter, and they had great teams. But if you feel weird about having a Canadian team in the NBA Finals, now I guess that's a good thing for the global reputation, the global promoting of the NBA, but I don't know, it just seems weird. But I mean, hey, you got to give it to Toronto. They've played their tail off, and they're in a situation now where they're one win away from getting to the finals for the first time in team history. They just picked up Leonard this year, and he's the key that's put them over the hump. I mean, they've had Lowry for a while, but Kawhi is an elite guy, and he's shown it. It's going to be interesting. Tomorrow night's going to be do or die for the Bucks, so hopefully they'll pull it out. And you're right, it could go Game 7. It could go to 7. Very well could. I hope it does. But meanwhile, Golden State's just sitting back there, the defending champs, sipping on lemonade and tea, waiting. And there's still no word officially if Kevin Durant's going to play in the finals, but I heard today that he may be done. He may not play the rest of the year. Can Golden State beat either Milwaukee or Toronto without Durant? I think they can. But will they? What do you think, Clint? You think Durant, we'll see Durant in the finals or not?
I think we will see Durant in the finals because he's had enough time to get 100%. But the biggest question is, do the Warriors even need him to get another ring? Because the way kind of the core, the nucleus of this Warriors franchise has been Draymond, Curry, and Klay. And they've been doing pretty damn well without him.
Yeah, I mean, this is a team that obviously can win it without him, but he takes them to another level.
Isn't really that obvious, though? It feels like, to me, they're still going to make it a competitive series with the guys they have in place rather than have KD. I feel like KD might be weighing them down a little bit, a la what we've seen in the past with Boogie Cousins with the New Orleans Pelicans. And mind you, Boogie, he's nowhere near ready either to come back.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see. It should be interesting. To see if Durant plays and if he does play in the finals, if he even comes back and re-signs with Golden State. That's also a huge question. But first of all, we've got to get through this series. Somebody just texted me and said they will watch the finals if the Raptors get in there. So if you're a basketball junkie, you'll watch. I just wondered. I just threw it out there to see what people would say. I'm a Bucks fan, so obviously I want to see the Bucks get in there. I love watching the Greek Freak and Middleton. But they got to win two more games, and right now they are in a major funk. They've lost three straight games in this finals. That's the longest losing streak they've had all year. It's the worst time to have it, too.
Exactly. Thank goodness they hadn't had lost a game beforehand, and then you wind up probably being out the door on that one.
Yep. Well, that's all the time we have for the show. I want to thank Clint for helping me out running the board, and also all of our guests, Juan Kincaid as well as Jacques Doucet, and all of our callers and listeners. Have yourself a great Memorial Day weekend. Bumper to Bumper Sports live from Houston with Ben Love is coming up next. I'm Jeff Horchek saying God bless, take care, and remember to always play fair.